sooner or later, somebody's going to blab it on WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
Lorraine, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, Lorraine.
How are you?
Good.
This is a very important situation that we have in Neurochelle, and it could either bring our city together or tear us apart. The store is not going to open. It's closed, all right? So now there is a lack of groceries, right, in that area. And it's disturbing. It's disturbing that someone was shot. We don't know. I mean, the police had body cameras. We have to look at that tape, to see exactly what happened. Now, to think that at every call we can have someone to go out and assess a situation is just not. It's not reasonable. Yes, they should have extra training to go to every year, every couple of months, to evaluate how they would react. Look at New York City, the man in the subway. He's one of 50 people, one of 50 that is known to the police. Where are these other 49? Are the police watching them? Does every policeman know those 49 people?
Lorraine, who are you referring to? I'm sorry. You're talking about
I'm talking about the subway in New York City.
The marine and the disturbed assailant,
right,
or troublemaker.
He's one of 50 people known to the police in New York. My question is, where are the other 49? Are the police? Do every policeman in New York know these 49 people? How can we expect Neurochelle police to know everyone that's disturbed?
I agree with that.
In every single area.
I totally agree, Lorraine, but
we cannot. We can't.
When the police officer put a call into the sergeant and say, "Listen, Sarge, I could see this person's not stable. You know, you got to send somebody here who's..."
Did he not look stable to you when he was walking away from them? If somebody's walking
walking away and then looking to grab the police officer's gun, that's not a stable person.
But only till they arrested. We're going to arrest him.
Yes.
That's the way it happened. That's the way you could see it on the film.
Yeah, yes,
okay?
there is an approach, Lorraine. I'm not an expert. I think we're all observers.
No, I'm not either.
But I will tell you, I think it's called diffusing the situation, right, Lou?
Exactly.
And all of us in the cool and calm of our homes or offices are on the radio. Thank God for WVOX, 1460 AM.
Yes.
We can recollect and take perspective. These are policemen and women who are in the line of duty, right?
Yes.
And it's very dangerous for them. So I don't quickly second guess them. But I do believe there may be improvements that Lou and I have been talking about that should be considered. They're not going to be implemented tomorrow. But I do think there may be some changes. We talked about it before the show. Training, supervision, hiring, obviously, use of firearms. There's got to be some improved methods. Otherwise, we'll only have more of this.
And this can, Lorraine was right too, what she said before, Steve. This can open up a can of worms. This can go very easy, or you can open up a bad can of worms here. You know, this could go a whole other way.
What business will come into Neurochelle now, knowing if someone is shoplifting, this gentleman took something, okay? You might think it's only a banana and a grape, but somebody has to be accountable for this. It's money. It's money to anyone that owns a business, all right? Do we want our CVSs to be all locked up? Is that what we want?
Very good point.
You know, here's another thing, which you just mentioned too, Lorraine. I'm going to tell you, is the vultures come out now. Because all these storefronts now, the insurance companies are going to come out and say, well, you know, there's a lot of crime here. This happened here. This happened here. So the premiums, their insurance premiums, are going to skyrocket, and they have to put that onto the consumer, which is what they can't be, and they can't compete with other stores or whatever, Steve.
It's
a domino effect.
Lorraine, let me just add to that scenario. It's a nightmare scenario. Wait till the real estate industry catches wind. You know they're aware of it. They study these things like they study school scores and graduation rates, and it's legitimate for them to consider it. But we as citizens and taxpayers of this city of New Rochelle have a right to weigh in on this, and I think we can expect more from our city manager. Lorraine. Think of that. She is the at least the putative head of the union negotiation in the city and the union negotiations and other departments. This is something she should be speaking on after, of course, the study is done, the research is done. I'd rather not hear from the politicians right now the right time.
Well, the thing is this. This is not going to be the last of it, okay? When you have a city council member who represents that community come out and say the only way people in that community can be entrepreneurs is if they own a pot store, a marijuana store.
That's a stupid statement.
Well, she made it.
That's a stupid statement.
It's on tape.
So, in other words, my community only wants to smoke pot. They don't need to buy milk or bread. I mean, come on, Lorraine.
But this is what was said, okay? And this is going to be an all-cash business. We are putting the person that opens that store in danger, anyone going in there to buy something, right, in danger.
And what's the one thing that everybody in New Rochelle, right and left, agrees on? We should have retail. It increases the feeling of community. We don't want everything coming from China via delivery service. We want to have a working, thriving community like New Rochelle used to mean.
But the thing is, the only way we're going to have it is if we welcome everyone into every community. A few years ago, and I do go to the store, I went to Cherry Lawn, and I saw someone that was used to be on the planning board. And I said to her, oh, hi, how are you? Not even how are you. What are you doing here? Don't you have one of these where you live?
That's crazy.
Can you imagine?
That's crazy.
I've lived here over 60 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I use all of New Rochelle.
So do
all
I.
All of New Rochelle belongs to me. It belongs to you.
That's the idea.
It belongs
that's the whole,
to anyone
exactly
that lives on
right.
Lincoln.
Exactly
how
right.
How dare. And then today on the radio, they're talking about the concert. Oh, New Rochelle, Hudson Park is a hidden gem. Give me a break. Hudson Park has been here forever. if you don't want to go there, don't feed it to me that it's a hidden gem. That's a lot
of nonsense. Especially, Lorraine Lou, the only people it's hidden from are people who are northerly parts of the city who maybe don't venture down here that much, don't use our library, and don't shop down there.
All right. Thanks, Lorraine. I got four callers back.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, let's get to Chris is next. Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up, Chris?
No, upset, really.
Yeah, okay. I agree with what you said. I think there should be a special unit that's specially trained to be called into this situation when the circumstances require that. That's a judgment. Law enforcement is a very difficult profession. Okay.
The sergeant at the desk should make the judgment, not the patrol officer. The patrol officer should tell the sergeant at the desk, listen, we have a problem here. The person looks like a little unstable here. And then the sergeant dispersed somebody who has that training. They could talk him out of something. Maybe he's on some Dorazine or something, a mental problem. He's taking medicine for that or whatever like that. Then the person who's trained in this can tell that by looking at his eyes, looking at his motions, shaking or whatever. They could tell all that.
Well, a degree of training that to make that judgment, to make that call, depends on the circumstances of the crime that they're witnessing and the training that they have to make that judgment. The police officers should have enough training to be able to make that judgment that it's better for them to call a special unit in, to take action. They have to make that judgment.
Let's just come down to cases, right? In this case, as far as we know, these were competent police officers. In fact, one of the detectives, actually, I met last month while he was still on patrol. Decent guy, mild-mannered. All the parties we know are as we've seen. This was a special situation. Do you think the city of New Rochelle, 90,000 people or so, municipal budget, $120-130 million, can afford the millions more to train? How many police we have? 400, 300?
Yeah, something like
not
that.
Even, not even less.
That much, yeah.
But, Chris, you know what that would cost? I say Lou has a good idea. Why not see if a higher level of government can find the funds to have the training, the institute, the expertise, therapists, the knowledge, the network, the technology, on call and available to local police departments.
But this is their this is out of the Democratic playbook to help right. people or whatever like
that's
that.
That's right.
Homeless. And this, so they should be running with this.
Absolutely.
And they get grants to get this. And it doesn't cost the taxpayer nothing in this
and
city.
And who's responsible? Are we going to hear Joe Biden say this is MAGA Republicans?
No.
Chris,
no.
Whose responsibility is this?
What? Law enforcement?
Yeah, local law enforcement, Neuchâtel, Westchester County, New York State.
Right. It's primarily the responsibility of the local police, okay? And it goes all the way up the ladder.
But it goes ultimately to the city council and the manager and the mayor.
Yeah, there's a degree of responsibility. I mean, the way our democracy or government is set up, okay, there are certain responsibilities that are local, that are statewide, and that are federal.
All right.
Okay? You know, but most law enforcement are well-intentioned. You remember what happened in, I think it was Georgia, where you had that crime unit that was out, maybe four or five officers that killed, I don't know who they killed, whatever, and they were all indicted.
Yes, from, you know, the goon squad they had. That was in Georgia.
Fortunately, we don't have such a record of official misconduct.
All right. All right, thanks, Chris. I got four callers.
Thanks, Chris.
I got to get everybody on. All right, let's get to Joe. Joe's on next. Joe? Hello, Joe?
Oh, how you doing? This is Joe.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Hey, Joe.
Now North Carolina.
Oh, wow. You live in North Carolina.
Joe, doctor, how are you, sir?
I know nothing about this case, but I just wanted, because Lou was talking about mental health, and there was a case in Neuchâtel. Is that the break coming up?
Yeah, the break's coming up. Let's hold on, Joe. All right,
sure,
stay where you are. You'll be right on after the break. It's only a quick break, this one.
WVOX. This is WVOX at 1460 for Premium Point, Scarsdale, and Purchase.
1460 WVOX.
Joe, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Now, about this case, this might be totally irrelevant to the case because, it might have nothing to do with mental health. It seems, from what you were saying, it might have a lot to do with it. But I just want to say, this could be something even, I'd say, even higher than everything you're talking about. It's a case from a Neuchâtel, former Neuchâtel resident. I don't know, Michael Lauder. I don't know if you remember, heard the name.
Yes, yes.
He 25 years ago, he had seemed to have recovered from a profound schizophrenia.
Yes.
And became celebrated. He actually had a practice in Neuchâtel.
Wow.
And he stopped his meds because he felt he didn't need them.
Oh.
And the next thing, he killed his girlfriend and the
child. I remember that.
I remember
that when that happened. Yes.
So his best friend, Jonathan Rosen, an author, spent a lot of time evaluating. This just came out with a book. I haven't read it. I want to read it. But I saw an interview with him. And he kind of went over the whole thing like, you know, this was, he should have been, you know, this, when we deinstitutionalize these, a lot of these mental institutions got a very bad name from the book One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest. And,
yeah, yeah.
And this is sort of like a consequence, and we have to maybe have to go back and reevaluate that. I mean, look at all the pressures it's putting on the whole system and the cops. You know, like you say, I mean, the mayor of Chicago has kind of thought of a system similar to what you're saying, but, I mean, this might be just a sizable population needs to be institutionalized for a very long time.
Joe, as you know, you lived here. It's a small city. But this is happening all over the country now.
Right,
in all these small cities. It's homelessness is very much out there now. Mental illness is very much out there now. So you
also,
don't know. If you don't have training, you don't know if somebody's on Dorazine or something.
Yeah, but, you know,
or some kind of psych medicine.
You have to make that decision.
Yeah.
And I don't care how much training you have. There's just... It's a stress on the system. You have also, people who have an inclination towards mental illness. And now with all the chemically drugs, the narcotics,
the
PCPs, and it's more people are becoming mentally ill and really going, you know, really bad schizophrenia.
Very truly, Doc. And, you know, and to your point, Doc, I do believe that I think that Lou and I discussed at the beginning of the show. These are huge issues.
I'm not a psychiatrist.
Okay, no, I understand that. But you're a medical doctor and a great one. And I can tell you that some of these issues are just too big for a city hall budget of Neurochelle, $100 million. There's a lot to pay for, and I don't think we can afford psychologists. We have to make it a state issue. I don't know if you have a problem in North Carolina, but there's a problem of fear of school violence. Joe, just wait a second. A problem of school violence, but no local board wants to put armed guards in schools. They don't want the blowback. So maybe it's time for state legislatures to get active in terms of deinstitutionalization, as you mentioned, and also school policy, peace policies. We need to have our state legislatures that have much bigger budgets addressing this. And I'm all for local, Joe.
All right, Dr. Joe. Thank you. Try to give us a call next week earlier, okay?
Yeah, keep calling.
All right, good call. That's not. Let's go to Bruce. Bruce, got to make it quick because I got two other calls I want to squeeze in.
Well, number one, you got quite a problem there. And I think the rarity of the problem gives you an idea of how to treat it. It is so uncommon. So, yeah, you look at this specific problem, you see what's wrong, but on the other hand, this isn't something going on in New Rochelle every day, every month, every year, every decade. It's extremely rare. So you have to look at that before you worry about all the treatment concepts you do, all the plans you have with the police department. I don't think you have a one-off horrible incident. I don't think you have a systemic problem, and I don't think it should be handled systemically.
All right. Thank you, Bruce.
That's a point. Okay. I can't say I agree with Lou and Bruce. I respect your point, Bruce. But we've had shootings in the past, unfortunately, in 2020 or 21 with young Flowers.
Yes.
I'm not taking sides there either. We had one 10 years ago with a gentleman, Cruz. This happens way too often. I think there are systemic ways, Lou, to look at it.
I think what Bruce was saying, too, I got to tell you the truth there, Steve. Yeah. Homelessness is on a rise.
Absolutely.
And but people are not saying that. It's not just a small issue.
You're right.
It's a big problem.
But homelessness and deinstitutionalization cannot be handled by New Rochelle either.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's get to Joanne.
Yeah, hi, guys. So real quick, first and foremost, doesn't New Rochelle, aren't they one of the cities that where the cops have to be educated? I think they have even four-year degrees they have to have. I think that's a fact, if I'm not
that's
mistaken.
To be a police officer in New Rochelle, you have to have 4 years of college.
Okay, now, and as such, don't they then have to have a certain amount of psychology? And I want to skip over that, whether they do or not. Then they should, that should be a prerequisite now then, therefore, for getting a job there. And secondly, they should assess every situation differently. If this kid, and listen, homelessness, this, that, whatever, mental illness, okay. But there should be someone, the manager or assistant manager, should be able to assess the situation right then and there. A couple of grapes, I think I heard, and an apple maybe. You know what? That shouldn't warrant all of that police activity, I don't think.
I agree with you.
Because I do know a friend, a little Irish boy from my old neighborhood, and he was so upset. The parents were never home after school. And he took an apple out of the A&P. We had an A&P near us.
Yeah.
He took an apple and he started eating it. Well, they just told the parents, but no police involved. But he got his rear end kicked from the mother and from the father.
All right.
So he said he never take another apple in his life. You know, they should have assessed that situation.
All right.
I don't think it required. Okay, go to the next one. Bye.
All right, go ahead. We know it's a big problem, but I think the bottom line is, Lou, in this age of media, instant responses and commentary, we have to be very sensitive. I think we set off the show right. We have to be sensitive and look for solutions. It's not all from us. It's from our legislators.
I agree. And I want to just touch back. All the callers were excellent today, everybody. But Lorraine hit the nail on the head. I'll tell you the reason why. This could be a can of worms that we're getting into. Especially with these lawsuits or whatever. You get a group of people saying, you know, this smell lawsuits and everything. So this could be a can of worms here, guys. All right. We'll be back next week. Me and Steve, God bless everybody. And we'll be back next week. Great job, Nick.
See you.